Welcome to episode number 478 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. Keep the five-star reviews coming there. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. That's my handle on Twitter, TheSportsRPT. We always appreciate your comments there. Hope you had a great weekend. I got to spend some time with family and friends down in Richmond, Virginia. I'll tell you about that in a second. When it comes to Lonzo Ball, his name is his game. This rookie can ball, period. End of story. Much more on him coming up. Then we have two big picture items to get to. One has to deal with the sports journalism field and an alarming trend going on right now. And then the other has to do with high school sports and parents. So stay tuned for that. Very important stuff. Are the Cubs back on track? Rough first half after winning the World Series last year. Their new pitcher sure looked sharp. And the Nationals addressed their bullpen, which was flat out atrocious in the first half of the season. Tennis, anyone? Breaking news. Roger Federer is pretty darn good. He's 35 and he's still running the show at Wimbledon. Venus Williams, however, could not seal the deal. So we'll give you a little recap of what went down at the All England Club over the weekend. It's all on episode 478 of the Sports Report. New podcast for you every Monday on GrizzlyProductions.tv. And of course, you can listen to previous shows on The Grizz and in the podcast section of iTunes. All right, let's start with hoops. There are certain things in life that we can't control. One of them is who our parents are. We all know by now that LeVar Ball can act like a Bob Wackadoo. He has said some absolutely ridiculous things. For some reason, there are a few networks that still give him airtime. His act is already tired. I just tune him out. To me, he's like a WWE manager. Like, and I'll go old school because I don't really watch it anymore. But Bobby the Brain Heenan, remember him? Or Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South? I love the nickname there. Remember Jimmy Hart and Bobby the Brain Heenan? That's kind of what I think of when I hear LeVar Ball. He's a circus act to me. But, and this is a Fat Albert-sized but, when it comes to his son, the kid's legit. Lonzo is the real deal. And I know the NBA Summer League means two things to most of you, Jack and Squat. However, if you watch him play, you have to love his game. The jump shot is funky, the way his hands cross over there. That is one exception, and that's something I think that he'll continue to work on. But his court vision, his unselfishness, his length, he's 6'6", playing the point guard position. Long arms, great wingspan. That's what scouts are looking for nowadays. His calm demeanor. You never see much emotion from this kid on the court. Very businesslike. Very professional at a young age. I'm sold. This guy is going to be a solid NBA point guard for many, many years. I think the Lakers are now set at that spot. I'm convinced. And if you've listened to the podcast over the years, you know I am anything but a prisoner of the moment. I like to mock the prisoners of the moment that exist in sports talk radio. And there are a lot of them. Too many to count. You know, I'm watching Sunday night, and he's going up against Dennis Smith Jr. and the Mavericks. Dennis Smith, another lottery pick. A Ball had 16 points, he had 10 assists, he had 4 rebounds, and he left the game with 6.5 minutes to go in the third quarter because of tightness in his right calf. So he only played a little bit more than a half. And the Lakers said he was available if needed, but why risk anything? Clearly not worth it. It's a summer league semifinal. And the Lakers still won the game 108-98, so they will face Portland in the final. And the attendance at some of these Lakers games, I mean, they've been selling out there in Vegas. Why is that? It's for one reason. They want to see Lonzo Ball. And he was making shots, too, in this one. He was 5 of 7 overall, and he made 2 of his 3 three-pointers. Again, that's the question mark to me. I don't know that he'll ever be a knockdown type of shooter. I mean, we're not talking about Ray Allen, Reggie Miller, Larry Bird, Steve Kerr here. He's a guy who's going to run the show, a true point guard. If he becomes a threat from downtown, look out, because I think everything else is there. I watched him against the Sixers last week. How about this one? 36 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, and 5 steals. And the outlet passes that this kid throws, I mean, they're things of beauty. We're talking about passes that are going the length of the court. He's grabbing the rebound, throwing it 90 feet on a dime, like he's Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, a la Kevin Love of the Cavaliers. And the basketball IQ is through the roof. You can tell that he's been around the game for a long, long time. He gets it. He knows basketball, knows the right way to play, something that Larry Brown used to talk about all the time. He is a pass-first point guard, which I think his teammates will appreciate. In the modern NBA, we have a lot of scoring point guards. I'm kind of old school. I like the point guard that can score, but he wants to get everybody involved first. So I think the Lakers got it right with the number 2 overall pick. Now, it was not a difficult selection. Obviously, point guard's a premium position. He was one of the elite players in the draft. Everybody knew that. And he was from UCLA. So you get the hometown kid. But Ball looks like a home run selection to me. Now, as far as the sneakers, give me a break. I don't pay any attention to that whatsoever. I don't give a rat's behind what brand he's wearing. He could be wearing Vans out there. He could be wearing loafers. He could be wearing Tony Hawk shoes. Just came to mind because the X Games was on. I really don't care. I care about his play on the court, and that's all. I don't care if he's wearing Nike, Reebok, whoever. The Kobe Bryants does not matter to me. It's funny. I see legitimate, at least what I consider legitimate news outlets, actually putting out stories about his sneaker choice before the game. Really? But I want to get your take on Lonzo Ball as a player. If you watched him at UCLA, now in the Summer League, and listen, we all get it. It's the Summer League. But what do you think so far? And I've also been impressed with Jason Tatum of the Celtics and Markelle Fultz, who the Sixers got number 1 overall. Unfortunately, he's been injured, hasn't played a whole lot. But from what I saw, all three of those guys, Fultz, Tatum, and Ball, they all look good. You know, sometimes before the draft, things get heated, and you hear media bobbleheads comparing guys. There's no reason why more than one of these top picks can't turn out to be a great player. Sometimes we start comparing guys, and all of a sudden it's like you're putting somebody down like they're going to stink. You know, there's no rule that says if the number 1 overall pick is good, that the number 2 or the number 3 overall pick has to stink. Why can't they all be good players? It can happen. And that could be the case. This is episode 478 of the Sports Report podcast. Feel free to chime in. Again, I'm on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Sticking with hoops here, Philly fans bummed out on Sunday. Allen Iverson was in town with the Big Three League. That's Ice Cube's new 3-on-3 league, which I've talked about before. And I think the timing's perfect. Nothing going on as far as the NFL right now. You don't have the NBA. You don't have the NHL. But Allen Iverson was in Philly, did not play. He's a player coach in the league. He said his doctor advised him not to play. So this time around, he just coached. Hasn't played much so far at all, but the fans in Philadelphia still love this guy. And they've had a lot of lean years. Trust me, I live an hour from Philly. The radio station I work at, we carry the 76ers. It's been tough. You know, the Hinkieites, the trust the process cult, they don't mention how bad the last 4 years have been on the court, wins and losses. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. You can talk about assets and draft picks and cap space. End of the day, what matters in pro sports, W's and L's, that's it. There have been four horrendous years in Philly. But those Iverson teams, I mean, you had a lot of role players. Guys like Eric Snow, Tyrone Hill, George Lynch, and then he had AI. And he got them all the way to the finals 1 year before they ran into the Lakers. And no shame losing to LA. But AI in Philly did not play. So a bit of a disappointment there. Overall, though, no issue with the league. I think it's a good idea. And the timing, like I said earlier, I think it's perfect. Unfortunately, when it comes to sports reporting, you get a lot of fluff these days. And this is one of two big picture topics that I have for you. I've mentioned before, I'm a proud graduate of the S.I. Newhouse School of Communications at Syracuse. To be perfectly honest, the only reason I went to the Cuse was because of the journalism program. That's it. I don't like snow. I don't like cold weather. And the Newhouse School is one of the best in the entire country. Maybe the best if you're looking at broadcast journalism as opposed to print. My professors were news directors in major markets before they came to Syracuse and worked as professors. So I learned a lot. It was not easy. Trust me. We worked hard. But it was definitely worth it. I'm very glad that I went to school there and definitely would not change that decision. Having said all that, the trends in sports journalism, they're alarming. Frankly, it's sad what's going on. Outstanding reporters are getting let go left and right. Look at ESPN. The worldwide leader got rid of some big names in the business. Well-respected reporters who did a great job on their beats. Journalists that you could trust. And unfortunately, in this industry, there's just not a whole lot of loyalty. Good people get canned all the time. And, you know, sometimes when I'll talk with parents and they'll mention that, you know, their kid is going to school for journalism, I kind of cringe a little bit. And you don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but you just see what's happening out there. And it's a shame. I mean, I'm talking about people like Jason Stark, one of the best in the biz with baseball. Ed Werder with the NFL. Andy Katz. Chad Ford covering hoops. Mark Stein with the NBA. Adam Kaplan with the NFL. Andrew Brandt does a really good job with reporting on the business side of sports. Dana O'Neill, college hoops. The doctor, Jerry Punch, with college football and also NASCAR. I mean, these people were reliable. They broke a lot of stories. They did not give you the fluff that I talked about, which has become more and more and more prevalent in sports now. It's more about pop culture and less about sports. And I think it stinks for the true sports fan, like me. If you want pop culture, go to TMZ. Watch MTV. Watch Entertainment Tonight. I don't want to see that stuff on SportsCenter. And I hate to say this, but the battle has been lost. And the true sports fan, the diehards, they've lost. It's over. It's now all about attracting people with limited attention spans. Give them a 30, 45 second video, and that's that. You still have a few shows like Outside the Lines and E60, but there aren't many like that. Very little investigative reporting going on anymore. Plus, we get fewer highlights because we have to make room for more fluff, more nonsense. Did you hear what Fox Sports has done with its website? Man, oh man, oh man. there are no articles anymore. I kid you not. No articles, no stories on the website for Fox Sports. It's all video. So you have a baseball writer like Ken Rosenthal, who is outstanding, does a terrific job, has for many years. So he can't write anymore because they're not putting articles on the website. I mean, how absurd is that? Just video? Oh, man. Oh, man. And it's true of sports talk radio as well, which is my passion. This isn't just about television. You know, last week, I hope you got to see the 30 for 30 film about Mike and the Mad Dog, Mike Francesa and Chris the Mad Dog Russo. I mean, they were together for 20 years in the late 80s all the way until 2008. I didn't think overall it was one of the best 30 for 30s. I mean, it's only an hour. You know, I like, you know, you go an hour and a half, 2 hours, you can get more in depth there. But as far as that show goes, they were pioneers. I mean, what they did in New York City was then copied across the entire country. And advertisers love the demographic that sports talk gives them because you're talking about men from 25 to 54. So that's what the advertisers want. I loved Mike and the Mad Dog. Because, and this may sound simple, but it's true. I loved them because they talked sports. They broke down the game. They analyzed the players and the coaches. They talked about the big plays. They talked about the strategy that went into the game. The controversial calls by the officials or the umpires. The key decisions that were made by the coaches. Or key decisions off the field by general managers, front office people, as far as trades, things like that. Actual sports talk. And that's one thing that has always bothered me about this industry. Too often, I tune into sports talk, quote unquote, shows, and it's nothing about sports. It's more pop culture stuff. I want to hear sports. And I understand the logic by the program directors out there and the general managers out there of these stations. They're thinking, well, hey, we already got the diehard sports fan. They're going to listen no matter what. So why don't we branch out, try and bring in some other people? And I guess it works because everybody does it. But it seems like now when you listen to sports talk radio, it's less and less and less about actual sports. And Mike and the Mad Dog, they talk sports. And, you know, they were not afraid to go after people. I mean, they told you what they thought. No two ways about it. I also thought it was interesting, if you watch that 30 for 30 film, they talk about the pressure that they put on the Mets to sign Mike Piazza. And a lot of people said that really that show, those guys were the reason that Mike Piazza ended up with the Mets. His agent talked to Mike Francesa, and, you know, then Mad Dog Russo was getting all over Steve Phillips at the time in the front office. You got to spend money or you got to bring him in. And they did. I mean, that was the power that that show had. The GMs up there, the owners, the executives, they listened to the show. And it was great. Now it's been copied around the country, that type of format. But they were really pioneers, innovators as far as that went. I haven't listened much now since Mad Dog left. And it's hard to believe. That's almost 10 years. He left in 2008. Man, time flies. Time flies. Francesa, to me, and I think a lot of people would agree, comes across as very arrogant, talks down to a lot of the callers, will cut them off in a very short amount of time. But when they were together, I was a big fan of the show. Big picture is what's happening in this industry. Two things are happening. Good reporters who gave you great content are getting fired. And then when it comes to sports talk radio, you're not getting sports anymore. And that to me is disappointing. You can weigh in on Twitter. Let me know what you think about this topic at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. I wanted to get that off my chest for a while. I thought the timing was good with the 30 for 30 film last week about Mike and the Mad Dog. The other big picture thing I want to get on, and this goes out to the parents out there. You need to listen very, very carefully to what I'm about to say. I saw some stats recently from scholarshipstats.com. And these are odds for high school athletes playing college sports. Basketball, baseball, football. That's what we'll focus on here. We'll start with hoops. Playing in any division in college, 17-1. Playing Division I basketball, 110-1. That's under 1%. Going pro, playing pro hoops, 1,860-1. Those are your odds. How about baseball? Playing any division of college baseball, 9-1. Playing Division I baseball, 47-1, about 2%. Playing pro ball, 764-1. How about football? Playing any division in college, 12-1. Playing Division I college football, 41-1. Again, about 2%. Playing pro football, 603-1. Those are your odds. Again, to become a pro, basketball, 1,860-1. Baseball, 764-1. Football, 603-1. Those are the odds. Overall, during the 2015-2016 school year, only 2% of high school athletes went on to play at the Division I level. 2% overall. I think our priorities are screwed up in this country. Academics is a lot more valuable than athletics to 99% of us. All right, but we see, you know, Tom Brady, and we see Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning and all of the NBA stars, whether it's LeBron or Durant or Curry and, you know, the Mike Trouts of the world. We see these people all the time. We watch all their games. We see their highlights when shows actually show highlights. Anywho, we're immersed in that culture and we think, well, hey, I want to be a pro athlete. Again, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. But as the king of objectivity and captain of reality, I like to provide perspective. And the truth of the matter is, the ball is going to stop bouncing for all of us. For some, it stops in junior high or high school. For others, in college. For most of us, it stops in high school. Very few get to play in college. And then as far as playing professionally, very, very few. You heard the odds there. I don't think I need to repeat them. But yet, parents seem to focus so much on what little Johnny's doing in baseball or basketball or football or soccer, or whatever the sport is, and not academics. Our priorities are way off kilter. They're messed up. I'm blessed to have parents who always emphasized academics. Always. Did you get your homework done? What'd you get on that quiz? How'd you do on that test? Are you getting ready for the SATs or the ACTs? Are you getting ready to do those college applications? All that stuff. That's what I heard constantly during high school. And when you're a teenage kid, you know, sometimes it annoys you. But then when you're older, you respect it. You appreciate it. So I just wanted to throw those numbers out there to give some concrete facts to let people know what we're talking about here. Only 2% of high school athletes went on to play Division I sports, 2%. And then you look at playing pro sports, actually making money from it. Whew. It's the one percentile. That's it. And sorry, but your little Johnny probably doesn't look like Kevin Durant. He's probably not 7 feet tall, can handle the ball and shoot threes. He's probably not big enough to play in the NFL. It's just the way it is. But we focus so much on sports. And this is coming from a guy who makes his living by talking about sports. I watch sports 24/7. That's what I do. I'll mix in some other stuff. Hey, Game of Thrones is back. Caught that season premiere. And I'll watch some other shows too. But my priority because of my job is sports. And I'm telling you this. The ball is going to stop bouncing for you. The books are more important than the ball. And hopefully parents will realize that. All right, let's get to a baseball here. Cubs made a trade for Jose Quintana, and it's already paying dividends. The southpaw struck out 12 on Sunday in Baltimore. He went 7 innings. He only gave up 3 hits, no walks. Terrific outing for Quintana. Chicago beat Baltimore 8-0. The Cubs swept the Orioles. Cubs have too much talent to play like they did in the first half. You know, baseball is a marathon. It's not a sprint. If you have just the NFL mentality, you're not going to get baseball. Even really good teams go into slumps, and I would not be surprised at all if the Cubs turn this around. As for the trade, they sent prospects to the White Sox, including two very highly touted prospects. But the Cubs are a win-now team, right? I mean, yeah, they just won the World Series. They're about what's going on now. So I like the move. I like the trade. Quintana has quietly been very good. He got zero run support from the White Sox. If you look at his ERA from 2013 to 2016, those 4 years, it's between 3.2 and 3.5 every year. And that's in the American League with the designated hitter. So he's been a very solid starter. He's just been on bad teams, so people don't know about him. Washington, let's get to the Nationals now. Their starting staff is fine. They don't have to worry about that. Although Ross is hurt, and that's unfortunate. Needs Tommy John. But the Nationals had to address the bullpen. Had to. And they did. Made a trade with the Oakland A's for Ryan Madsen and Sean Doolittle. Oakland gets Blake Treinen, who the Nationals tried to use as a closer, and that was a nightmare. And Oakland also gets a couple of prospects. The Washington bullpen has blown more than a third of its save opportunities. Look at their record and then look at what it could be if they could actually seal the deal. They've converted just 22 of 36 save chances. The starters, awesome. Relievers, stink. Pure manure. I mean, that's been a dumpster fire. Doolittle, very, very tough against lefties. Madsen, ERA of 2.06. Opponents hitting under 200 against him. He's a veteran. I saw him come up with the Phillies. Was a starter. Now he's in the pen. And last year, he had 30 saves. So a good move there by Washington. They had to get something done when it came to the bullpen. You had a lefty. You had a righty. And that should help. Marching along here on episode 478 of the Sports Report podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Paul Roberts with you every Monday. New shows on grizzlyproductions.tv and, of course, in the podcast section of iTunes. Love to see the 5-star reviews there. Only takes a second, and it helps to promote the show. So thank you for that. On to tennis. What else is there to say about Roger Federer? The man is the GOAT. There's no debate. The greatest of all time. Needed just an hour and 41 minutes to dispatch of Marin Cilic in Sunday's Wimbledon final, 6-3, 6-1, 6-4. Cilic slammed his racket after the first set, very frustrated, had a bad blister. That was part of it, and obviously, you're playing Federer. He can frustrate the best of them. It is Roger's 8th Wimbledon title. That's a new record. He passed both Pete Sampras and William Renshaw. At 35, Roger's the oldest champ at the All England Club. I mean, you can throw that age out the window. Throw it in the dumpster. He did not lose a single set all tournament. Not one set. Bjorn Borg is the only other man to do that in the open air. Federer's won 2 majors this year. He also won the Australian Open, then rested, you know, did not play on clay, came back. He loves Wimbledon, favorite event, and he wins it. So 2 majors this year. He's up to 19 Grand Slam titles. And as long as he's healthy, why can't he win more majors? And why can't he add to his record? You may not like tennis, but I hope you appreciate true greatness. And that is Roger Federer. He is the best ever. As for the women's final, and I do like tennis. My brother was a good high school player. I used to play growing up, not on a high school level, but just for fun. So I will tune in, especially to the big events. Venus Williams, now 37. She was trying to become the oldest woman in the open air to win a Grand Slam. The turning point in her match was pretty obvious. Venus had two set points in the first set. But Garbina Muguruza, who's only 23, 14 years younger than Venus, she came up big in that spot, down 5-4 in the opening set, and she never looked back. In fact, she rolled over Venus. She did not lose another game. She won 7-5, 6-0. Muguruza, who was the number 14 seed in the tournament, won 9 consecutive games. Finished with just 11 unforced errors to 25 for Venus. So Muguruza is now the first player to beat both Williams sisters in a Grand Slam final, and never been done before. Venus had never lost a set 6-0 at Wimbledon. So this was some groundbreaking stuff going on. And this was her 20th appearance at Wimbledon. Had never lost 6-0. She was trying for her 6th Wimbledon singles title and her first since 2008. Serena, of course, is not playing for the rest of the year because she's pregnant. Last question I'll throw out on the show. And certainly if you want to talk tennis, you can do it on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT. Last thing, do any of you watch the ESPYs? I don't. It surprised me when I heard that this was the 25th year. I can't believe it's been around that long. I never really have watched them. I did see Peyton Manning's monologue the next day. I saw it. I did not watch it live. And that was really about it. So I'm curious what percentage of you watch the ESPYs. And finally, I mentioned at the top of the show, I was down in Richmond over the weekend with my family. Had a great time down there. Happy birthday to my Uncle Charlie. His 75th birthday, we had a surprise party for him down in Richmond. And he was surprised, to say the least. So it was great seeing my aunt and uncle and my cousins and their kids down there. My brother also lives down there. He went to the University of Richmond. Hasn't come back, loves it down there. We had a good time, went down with my parents and my sister and her son, so a really good time. Also got to visit Charlottesville, where my brother works, and that's where UVA is, University of Virginia. I always talk about that basketball program down there, how well-coached they are, how I love that style of play. It's not pretty, but it is effective, and Coach Bennett does a great job. There's an outdoor mall down there, all kinds of restaurants, bars, shops, a really cool place down there in Charlottesville, pavilion for concerts and shows and things like that. My first time there, so it was a blast. It was hot, but it was definitely fun. My brother, by the way, works for a hedge fund. So even though we are identical twins, I'm 5 minutes older, and we have birthdays coming up in a little over a week, 10 days from now. A big one, in fact. But if you want to tell the difference, just look at our savings accounts, all right? And that'll tell you right away. Don't look at our faces or anything like that. You may not be able to tell, but if you look at our savings accounts, you go to our banks, you can definitely tell. But a good time this weekend, and again, happy birthday to my Uncle Charlie. Yeah, my family's a little crazy in that at the end of the month, my brother and I, obviously, we're twins. You know, sometimes people do ask me, so when's your brother's birthday? After I tell them we're identical twins. And then I just kind of smile and nod and slowly walk away. But my sister's birthday is on the 23rd. My brother and I are on the 27th. And my mom's is on the 29th. So we have 4 birthdays to celebrate in the span of 1 week. How about them apples? It's gift card palooza. But my mom always gets frustrated with me because she likes to get actual gifts, not gift cards. But I can't come up with any ideas. I'm too busy covering sports, right? So have a great week, everybody. Stay cool out there. I'll talk to you again next Monday. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends, your family members, your coworkers, if they're into sports, check out the podcast every Monday on The Grizz. And of course, in the podcast section of iTunes, just type in The Sports Report with Paul Roberts, and you can listen to previous shows as well. Be back next Monday. Check in on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. A lot of topics today that you can discuss. TheSportsRPT. This has been episode number 478 of The Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.